Not long after the sun rose over the Sonoran Desert in southern Arizona the other day, a group of hikers set out on a mission. They marched up a rocky hillside in Saguaro National Park armed with metal bars and pickaxes. They were volunteers, most in their 60s and 70s, and they were going to war against a tuft of brown yellow grass.
I got it. That check. Sometimes you just go back and check.
Marcy Schatz is a Sonoran Desert weed whacker. Her enemy, an invasive species called buffle grass that's taken over this hillside and threatens to choke out native desert plants across the region. Schatz bends over and whacks the base of it with a pick. It's tough work, and she shows me the bottom of the plant she just ripped from the ground.
You can see that the total root ball is comprised of just tons and tons and tons of these individual root balls.
Uh-huh. So you got to get all that root. You got to get it by the root.
Very, very careful.
Schatz has been sweating under the desert sun pulling buffle grass for 13 years.
It's sort of a, it's almost like a life and death thing, I think, for this Sonoran Desert.
Hmm.
Random hiking has been ruined for me, because if I hike in an area that's never been cleared, then all I see is buffle grass, and it's just so discouraging.
It's more than that. Invasive buffle grass is also turning the Sonoran Desert into a tinderbox.
This grass came from the plains of Africa, and it was brought over in the 30s.
Julia Rowe has a pickaxe in her hand, too. She's an expert on invasive species with Tucson's Arizona Sonora Desert Museum.
It was brought over because it's very drought resistant, and at the time we were having drought problems here and dealing problems with overgrazing, and so the grass was brought in to try and deal with that.
Where was the grass put? I mean,
it was down in the grasslands, down in the lowlands, mm-hmm. And it wasn't really until probably the 90s that people started noticing it escaping up into the wildland areas.
Okay, so over the course of 60 years, approximately, mm-hmm. It just started to expand. And why is
that? It's not really grazed here. Nothing really likes to eat it. It doesn't have any natural predators, and it moves into the open spaces. If you look across the hillside here into this healthy Sonoran Desert across the way, you'll see there's naturally a lot of open space, right? And so the buffle grass takes advantage of that and moves in and fills in all that open space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it does, it may be from Africa, but it does well here in the desert, it sounds like.
It does really
well
here, yes.
Yeah. And so how widespread would you say it is now?
It's all throughout our urban area. It's in almost every wildland space that you'll go into.
Here's the problem.
At least two-thirds of the year, if not more, it's almost all dry.
Which means all this buffle grass is just waiting to burn.
This plant is adapted to handle fire, and so what happens is it burns down to the roots, but as soon as there's moisture again, it sprouts up green and lush. And so it's then able to take even more advantage of that opened up space.
We're looking at a wide, expansive array of the Sonoran Desert right now. I see majestic saguaros standing in the distance. I see Palo Verde trees, creosote bushes, mm-hmm. Barrel cactus. Is fire something that really has traditionally happened here?
No, it really isn't. You know, obviously we have lightning strikes that happen every year. You can see there's not much fuel for a fire. So if a fire does happen in one spot, it doesn't go very far. And so that's why probably 98% of my job is dealing with buffle grass, because it has such an ability to completely change an ecosystem from a Sonoran Desert ecosystem into an invaded grassland. And we've seen it happen on small scale already.
What's the consequence of that? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, the consequence is, instead of looking across at all these different plants and knowing that there's tortoises and knowing that there's bighorn sheep and knowing that there's Gila monsters, you just have a grassland. So it's, you know, there's a whole chain reaction that happens mm-hmm. when buffle grass moves in.
Sometimes to get people to care about this sort of thing, you have to have like a mega flora or a mega fauna, right? And we're looking at a lot of them, the saguaro cactus,
right?
This is, I mean, anyone who knows this area knows that the saguaro is sort of like the, symbolizes, you know, this region. How have we seen them suffer?
So many of the young saguaros die in a fire. The older ones can usually survive, but you lose the next generation. So mm-hmm. if we let buffle grass just fill this in, we're going to lose saguaros.
And we already are.
It's really troubling and sad to see that happening.
Kim Franklin is another scientist at the Desert Museum who's witnessed stands of saguaro gutted by flames. Last year was Arizona's worst fire season in a decade. Nearly a million acres burned.
A lot of the fire that took place in Arizona did take place in lower elevation ecosystems in areas that have been invaded by grasses. And so these grasses are fueling an increase in fire frequency and spreading fire into new habitats, new ecosystems where fire has been present before.
And the threat is only growing. Climate change is making the southwestern United States hotter and drier. In Saguaro National Park, minimum temperatures in the winter have risen up to 15 degrees in the past 100 years. Fires are getting more intense, which means every whack matters.
Well, I'm using these rocks as a fulcrum to get these things out of the ground.
Joe Shimotaro is 72 years old and still hard at work.
These seeds will stay viable for 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
So if we get any kind of monsoon this year, you know, if we come back here in August or September, there'll be, you know, hundreds of seedlings, so we'll have to hit it again.
Okay, so that makes me wonder if you're not like Sisyphus, you know, the guy who's working on a pushing the boulder up the hill.
Yeah, well.
And it just rolls back down on
him. But you see, it's very persistent.
But so are the volunteers. After a few hours of digging, the entire hillside is clear of buffelgrass. And that's a good thing, because if Shimotaro and his friends are going to win this battle, they have a lot more whacking to do.